everybody. This is Pam at the Paper Outpost, and this is the Paper Outpost podcast, The Joy of Junk Journals. And tonight's topic is a little bit different. Tonight, we're doing an interview. And who am I interviewing, you might ask? Well, let me just tell you that this person is in my personal space all the time. Let me tell you, he's always tromping around in my craft room, or should we say our room that I have sort of taken over.
Used to be our room.
Yes. I'd like to introduce everybody to my husband. His name is Thomas, or Tom. I call him Tom, but most of the world calls him Thomas. And Thomas, tonight I brought you on because I specifically wanted to ask you, and I know you'll be dirt honest, what's it really like to live with somebody who makes junk journals?
In one word, crazy and exciting. It's been quite a journey over the last 4 or 5 years. And it's a constant adventure because you never know what you're going to come up with. You know, it's every day is a new surprise, and I like it.
So what was it like back in the beginning when Pam was first making junk journals? What did you think about this whole bookmaking process that was going on?
I thought it was kind of strange, to be honest, because you were painting at first and you had a time where you're making paper, you know, your paper making period. And so you've always been doing some crafting, but you were really getting into painting. And I remember you buying all these different paints and palettes and what have you not. And just somehow you got started and fascinated by making books. And I just thought, you know, that's kind of odd, but you know, I guess it's an old dying craft that has to be kept alive somehow. And I really didn't know, you know, what kind of book you would make, you know. And so I was just watching it, and one thing led to another, and it took on a life of its own.
So let's reflect back on when I started to make the chunky monkeys, the really chubby journals with all the stuff in them, when I kind of morphed from a regular writing journal into something that had a lot of stuffed stuff in it. What were your thoughts back then? I kind of know the answer to this already, but I just like to hear your take on it.
Well, my initial thought was, what do people do with those journals, you know? Because I mean, you really can't write in them, even though, you know, you got all these little pockets and cards and this and that. And I, you know, I love to journal a lot, and I have my little moleskin journal, and I'm trying to disconnect the dots from there to these giant books that are just overflowing with all that stuff that's in there. So I finally realized that it's really not a journal to write in, but more of a, you know, discovery, like a little treasure hunt. You never know what you get and, you know, what you find inside.
You mean like a doorstop? It's a giant doorstop.
Well, you know, you started to produce these things in mass, and our very empty craft room that just had your painting surface and my little piano in it started to, you know, get fuller and fuller. And I remember you were thinking about maybe getting a chest of drawer of sorts at Hobby Lobby. And you thought, oh my God, just look at all these drawers. I'll never use them all. You know, there's so many drawers and stuff, and you didn't have that many supplies at the time.
Right, the apothecary drawers.
Yeah, and then of course, things happened, and I turn around, and then there's a second and a third and a fourth. And stuff stacked everywhere, and you had to move your journals out of the craft room because there was no room to put them. So it's just kind of interesting to watch.
So why don't you take us on a little journey as to what happened when basically I broke out of the craft room because there was physically not enough room to store my journals and my craft supplies and your piano all in there. So that's when I took them to the bedroom closet. Do you remember that?
Yes.
Do you remember moving all those with me?
Mm-hmm. That was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
I mean, I had no idea that he had that many. I mean, it's just like, where the heck did they all come from? And so, yeah, we were slapping them into the bedroom and putting them to the closet. Yeah. And obviously, it filled up the closet with them. Yeah. And I just thought to myself, you got to do something with them. I mean, why did you sell one?
Yeah.
And because really you're running out of space and you're doing all these journals. And I just thought, you know, why not sell some of them?
And what did I say? Was I open to it or was I resistant?
Not at all. You just wanted to keep them for yourself. And you still have God knows how many journals.
They're my babies.
I know, but so you're cheating the world out of your journals. How many dozen journals do you have?
I don't want to count. They've seen all my journals. It's my first video. It's my dirty little junk journal secret. You can see I've filled up my coffee table, which is an old Indian trunk, with my journals. And it's pretty much stacked full. And so, yeah, to count to date, I've made over 300 journals. I counted. And that includes all the ones I gave away, all the ones I gave to charity, all the ones I gave to family, all the ones I gave as gifts and all that kind of stuff. And then all the ones that are in the trunk still. And then including some that I've sold.
You clearly gave away more than you sold.
Yeah.
So yeah. You're really still not...
I'm behind the eight ball, for gosh sakes.
Yeah, so you really don't... You still don't want to sell them, even though people are begging you to sell them.
I sell about one a month now, I would say.
Okay.
Yeah. I mean, there was a big fear factor in the beginning. I didn't know if they would sell. They sat there for a long time before they sold, remember?
Well, the very early ones. But then again, you, nobody knew you, and they were not nearly as elaborate as the stuff you're doing now. So there's a lot of work that goes into it. How many hours do you put in a journal?
Well, you've seen it. You know, days. Days and days and days.
Weeks.
So, yeah. I mean... You know, especially now doing the channel and everything, that there's a little less time to actually make a journal.
You've had to tap into inventory.
No, I'm not selling those. Those are my babies. Those are absolutely my babies.
So it'll take you a month or two to make a journal. And
So there was a time, though, when, remember, I made one for your piano teacher? Mm-hmm. And I think you were a little reluctant to give it to her. Do you want to talk to us about that? I remember the wrinkled face when I said, oh, why don't you give this to Miss Elena? She might get a kick out of this.
Well, you know, I was just thinking about it from my own perspective when I first, the first time I saw one of those things.
And thought, one of those things. Thanks, honey.
It's like, what does, you know... It's kind of like the Russian babushka dolls, you know, that like one is inside of another.
They just keep coming?
Yeah, and so how do you really explain to someone what that is, you know? It's not really a journal as in a writing journal. Mm. It's, you know, so, but...
Well, you know, there's a whole other art form of journaling which has taken on from, it's almost a morph planner called a bullet journal, but people tend to write and journal and day log in them, and there's a lot of pictures and things stuck in there, but they write around it.
Hmm.
See, I bet you didn't know that.
No, I didn't. No,
you'll have to watch some YouTube videos on that, honey.
Bullet journals?
Yeah, bullet journals. See, it's a whole new thing. Everything has morphed. Scrapbooks have morphed, I think, into junk journals, and regular old planners have morphed into bullet journals.
Obviously, it's a growing community. I mean, there are tens of thousands of people that are into journaling and making journals and making books. And it's really kind of like gone from when I first, you know, you started doing your book making, I thought, like, okay, like a typical book, you know, like a sewn cover, you know.
Right.
And
Do you remember the first book I made?
Vaguely.
I guess it was that impactful. It was a watercolor paper journal.
Hmm. Okay.
And it was more book-like, you would say.
Yeah. It was like a regular book.
Yeah.
And you basically just created the cover for it, you know?
Right.
And
I filled it with watercolor paper.
And but it wasn't filled with, you know, signatures and all that stuff that you're doing now.
Yeah. Well, it had signatures in it. But it's not. But, it doesn't have pockets. It didn't have pockets and tucks and all that stuff.
It wasn't stuffed full of
stuff. So what did you think? You know what?
It morphed. You know, you started out making books, and then you went from book binding, book making, to this journal making.
Oh, I just leapt off the edge, didn't I?
Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what. We'll be right back, and we'll just carry on this little conversation. Okay, we're back here. So Thomas?
Yes?
What did you think of the journal that I made you?
That was a huge surprise, and actually I loved it. It was a themed journal. I've always been fascinated by the story of the pirate treasure on the Cocos Islands. And I really didn't keep up to date over what happened in the last 10, 12 years with that. They actually found the treasure. When I grew up as a kid, you know, this was the mystery of the giant pirate treasure worth billions that was lost, and all these people tried to find it, nobody could. So you created an amazing journey in your journal. So this was a story, really, a storybook that really took you through discovery and took me through discovery. And I actually got to learn about the whole, you know, history of it and also what happened, and they found it and so forth. And then you think it was over, but no, the story continued and you created a little treasure hunt for me in the journal. So I loved it. And I found some gold.
Yeah, you did pretty well on that one,
yeah,
I'd say.
Yeah, that was a pretty good. Yeah.
So I have a video on that one if you haven't seen that, so feel free to check that out, folks. But so let me ask you, Thomas, have you ever shown it to anybody?
Yes.
Who?
My brother.
Oh, you did? You showed it to your brother?
Yeah.
Okay. Because I know I asked you to show it to your mother when she was visiting, and did you show it to your mother?
I did.
You did? When?
Yes, when she was here visiting. I took her upstairs and showed it to her.
Oh, I don't know about that.
Yeah.
What about your sister? Did she ever see it?
No.
No. Okay, so I've given your mother a journal, I've given your sister a journal, I've given your brother a journal, and your brother's son a journal, and your brother's wife a journal. Did they ever say anything about the journals? I'm just curious. You can tell me. Nobody's listening.
My mother said something about it.
Uh-oh.
She loved it,
okay.
And she was very intrigued by it.
Uh-huh.
And so she really liked it, and
yeah.
She actually got inspired to journal.
Oh, yeah?
So, that was good feedback. I didn't hear back from my mother, my brother or sister.
Okay. All right. We'll let you off the hook with that one.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, all right.
Did you hear from them?
No. Well, I mean, thank yous. You know, yeah. Thank you. First squirrely face. That's what we call it in the junk journal world. We call it squirrely face because nobody knows what it is. That's why I wrote a little note from the bookmaker tucking it in there, explaining what on earth this thing is. So your wife also seemed to have this strange new passion for collecting old stuff, old ephemera, old papers from days gone by. Do you want to walk us through a little bit of what that was like to live with? And what about this wife of yours that all of a sudden had to go to every garage sale, estate sale, thrift store, antique store? What was that like living with a junk journaler? Can you tell us
well,
what it's really like?
Overwhelming at times when the kitchen gets buried in papers and these shipments would arrive from Eastern Europe and Russia and God knows where, France, with old papers and one thing that was really interesting is you were also procuring some old journals and we were reading them.
Oh, the diaries.
Yeah, I
got into diary collecting. That was interesting.
But you collect a lot of old stuff, old newspaper clippings, and so I just thought it was fascinating. But then, you got these waves of stuff coming in where you just totally took over our kitchen.
Yeah.
So the craft room was no longer sufficient.
Yeah.
The kitchen had to, be used, and the table out at the pool had to be used for things.
Oh, yeah. Coffee dyeing adventures out there. Air drying in the sunshine, in Florida sunshine.
So you're basically just taking over the entire house.
Yes, that's pretty much it.
Yeah,
taking over the house. So what about all the waves of runs to Goodwill to get fabric?
Well, you're pretty much out and about every day looking for stuff.
It's a bit of a compulsion. Yeah. That's settled down, though, wouldn't you say? That there became a room-limiting step when you get to a point where you just can't expand anymore to the space that you're in?
Well, we got to an understanding that we're not going to do any more garage sales and buying crap that we just, didn't know what to do with. Mm-hmm. And here and there, you actually did a garage sale to get rid of some of the stuff that you would buy at garage sales.
Yeah.
And
been there.
And then, of course, you're... I think you probably do still do 2 or 3 runs to Goodwill a week now, as opposed to every day.
Yeah. I just call it scouting.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I don't come home with the armfuls of bags of stuff like I used to.
No,
right?
No. But
I'm much better this year.
You used to, you know, cloth, you know.
Yeah.
You started sewing away on your sewing machine.
Oh, yeah. That was a big adventure, discovering the sewing machine. Yeah, I'm telling you, people, if you haven't gotten the sewing machine yet, go down to Goodwill, get one for $20, and just go to town and have fun. Because it doesn't take much material.
No, and you can sew paper,
journal.
Too, and cardboard, and cloth, and combine things.
There's so many things,
And so a lot of your journals, you used a lot of cloth.
Yeah, you know? Then I was sewing journal bags. Remember, you had to have something to put the journal in when you were selling it. So you'd make a bag, put it in, you know. It was unlimited. Yeah. So,
and the story continues.
Yeah.
I think you're just getting started.
Just tell me, were you shocked when I sold my first one online? Like, it wasn't a family member, friend, or a charity that we were giving it to, but were you a little shocked?
No, honestly not, because I thought they were awesome and you were going to sell them. And I always thought they would be worth more than you were selling them for. And but it was definitely a big hooray, you know, when you had your first ka-ching on your Etsy app come through. And I remember there was that one little thing that just didn't want to sell.
Yeah, just, my lemon.
It just sat there.
My lemon journal.
But then, you know, somebody came along and bought several of your journals, I think, including lemon, which really wasn't a lemon, but it was just a longer to sell.
It felt like my lemon.
But yeah, that was exciting.
Yeah.
And I still think, I mean, you could definitely sell a few more journals.
You want me to empty out the coffee table?
Yeah, up the price.
Yeah. Oh, you want me to go expensive?
I don't know. Some of the journals that you made are just so elaborate that you spend so much time on there.
Yeah. Well,
I think you're keeping the best for yourself.
Oh well. You know, I like to keep the ones that were learning journeys for me. You know, where I learned a new process or a technique, and I like to keep some of the ones that are really lousy, because in those I had major learning expeditions.
Well, when you first start, things don't quite.
No,
you know.
There was a lot of book cracking, and you know, the paper cracked, and you know, you opened up the cover and the papers all came off, and it was, and all the signatures were uneven, and it was quite hodgepodge.
The pages would stick together.
Oh yeah, a lot of that. I didn't realize you had to wait for the glue to dry before you progressed. Or, you know, with the little dots of color that I would use, the liquid pearls and the stickles and the Nuvo drops, that when you close the page, sometimes the stickles are still wet, and then you get them on the other side, a little mirror image. That was always fun.
But I guess, you know, you do a few hundred journals, so you get better at it.
So what's the best and what's the worst thing about living with a chronic journal maker?
Well, the best thing is that you're passionate about what you do, and I just love to hear you talk, you know, so enthusiastically about, you know, going through your journals when you do your videos. It just puts a smile on my face. Yeah. Or you're doing your podcasts, and so, you know, you're just a happy clam doing something that you love and you're excited and passionate about. And, you know, the second thing, of course, is that I basically, you know, just have to kind of figure out a way to squeeze in there if I want to use the piano. And
I can't tell you how many times I've used the surface of your piano as a craft table.
I bet.
I have. I'm guilty. I was gessoing playing cards on it the other day. I didn't tell you. Well, thank you very much, my love, for sitting down and chatting with us, because, you know, I just wanted you to get your fair say in there about, you know, a lot of us do have SIG others. And,
yes, and life with this journal maker is just heaven.
Oh, you're so sweet. Yeah.
Yeah.
And paid sponsor. Well, thanks very much. And I enjoyed this. I hope our listeners enjoyed this. And we'll have more coming at you. Go ahead and check me out on the Paper Outpost, the YouTube channel. And please check out my Amazon store. I have a link for that. And also in the description box below every video, and also in this description. And you can find me on Facebook and Facebook group. I always have a hard time with this. Pinterest, Instagram, Twitter, LinkedIn.
You're just everywhere.
I'm even on TikTok, and yeah. I'm working on a blog, people. I'm working on a blog. It's coming. For some reason, the blog, now you think writing, it yeah. should be easy to upload, to be no, it's much harder than doing YouTube videos. It is. So, but it is coming, and I'm very excited and passionate about that. So hang on, folks. Thanks very much for listening. I really appreciate you just hanging out with Tom and me tonight. It's been a lot of fun, and I'll be talking to you soon. Take care, everyone. Remember that fun can be simple, and create with reckless abandon. Till next time.